Thank you, Kristen and Karen, for your beautiful music this morning. Please let them know you appreciate that. They do this all the time. We're very blessed to have these wonderful pianists with us. Hear these words on this beautiful January morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of you, O Lord, and that I will pursue, to live in your house all the days of my life, to behold your beauty and to seek you in your temple. May we all be seekers today of the presence of Christ here among us in our worship and with each other. Would you stand for a moment and greet those around you? If you have an announcement, you can come forward afterwards.
Good morning. I am making an announcement for my sister about the adult retreat. It is not next weekend, but the following weekend at Drift Creek. And everybody should come because it's fun. And Marlene Bogard is going to be speaking. Also, all the information is in your bulletin, which is what I'm reading from at right now. So, you can go sign up on the bulletin board in the back, or she put a Google form thing in here. But I think it's gone out in an email, too, from the church, right? Yep, Jody says yes. So, come.
Just a quick reminder that this Sunday is the second Sunday of the month, so that means the kids will be meeting this evening at 5 for a light meal, and then I will see the kids who are kindergarten through fifth grade downstairs. So, see you then.
Please join me for our call to worship from Psalm 46. I will read the leader part, and you will join in on the all. Psalm 46. The Lord Almighty is with us. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. The Lord Almighty is with us. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. Amen. Please take your blue hymnals and turn to hymn number 46. Number 46 in the larger blue hymnal. Let's stand as we sing. You may be seated. Please take your hymnal and turn to number 26. Holy Spirit, come with power. 26. We'll have the pastoral prayer at this time.
Please join me in a spirit of prayer. By your Spirit, Lord, you have gathered us again today as a sign of your body to do as you did, Lord, when you walked the dusty paths of Palestine to teach, to serve, to heal, to help, to love, and to worship your Abba Father. Unite our hearts within and among us to revere your name. And when your Spirit works with your word and with your people, powerful things can happen. By your Holy Spirit, through whom you are present here and now, and through your word, which we shall read and hear, and through your people seeking you, lift the eyes of our hearts toward you and open the ears of our spirits, that you might touch us and teach us wherever most we need healing, help, or correction, that we might be all the more united around your throne and empowered to live and to love as do you, for your glory and honor, now, this place, this time, and forever. Amen.
Would the ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Would you pray with me? Dear God, may all of our giving and living be in Christ Jesus. May we renew our strength and generosity. May our lives be renewed as we give, live, and serve for all the earth's family. Amen. It's time for the children's story. If you'll come up front and join Matthew. Are you going to this side?
Good morning. How are you all? Good. How good are you at keeping secrets? Can you keep a secret and not tell everybody else until I tell you to tell everybody else? Okay, you think you can do that? You're really good. And you're good too. That's excellent, because that's how you can help me with this story. And I'm going to do a story. Some of you will remember this from like about 4 or 5 years ago. So if you know the answer out there, you need to keep it too. Can you keep it until I'm done with the lesson, please? I have inside this box a secret. It's kind of like a picture. You look inside this box and you're going to see something kind of like a picture of someone who's out. I will show you later. Okay. You'll get your chance. Okay. And you will see a picture of, well, I'm going to give you a hint. It's a very, very important person in this church. In fact, this person is very, very important to God. God made only one person like this person. I'm not taking it. Okay. And if this was the only person in the whole wide world, Jesus would still come for this one person. And every time people in this church see this person, they think that's a very important person. And they are very glad that this person is here. So if I give you a chance to look inside the box and look for that picture, can you keep it quiet and not say who it is you see? And once you've figured out who it is, I want you to stand on the other side of the pulpit and wait, okay? And when you're all there and everyone has seen, I'm going to say, now point at that person. And so you all will point at the person whom you saw. You got that? Does that make sense? Okay, this very, very important person, very important to God, very important to this church, whom we are all very happy to see. Okay, we'll start right here with Rachel. If you can stand up and come take a look in this box. Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, Rachel, let's start with Rachel. Rachel? Okay. Can you see inside the box there? Okay. Oh, one at a time. Okay. Come stand next to me. Okay. And you get to look in too. Do you see the face in there? But don't say anything. Can you stand here next to me, and then I'll send you with the others over there. Okay. Now we'll start over here and work this way. Come take a look. Okay. And then tell me when you figure out who you see in there. Look at me. Oh, no, one at a time. Do you see? Okay. And then now you. Okay. Do you see that face in there? Do you see that very important person? Have you seen him? You know who it is? No. Take another look. Look a little closer. Okay, now if you've seen it, go stand on the other side of the pulpit, please, and look at the congregation. Everyone who has seen it now, Rachel, you can go over there too. On the other side. Have you seen? Okay. Now let's keep going. We'll start over here. Look inside there and see that very important person. And then go stand over there. Let's keep going. Your turn. Do you see that very important person and know who it is? Okay, go stand over with them, please. And we'll just keep going. Anna, I'm forgetting your name. Anna? Or no, Lisa. Oh, Help me out here, please. Lily. Okay. And then Nico. Look in here and see if you can see that very important person. You know who it is? Okay, stand over there. And then Nico. You figured out who it is? Okay, Jack. Who do you see? You see somebody there? Okay, but keep it a secret. Okay, now you can come and look too. Do you see that very important person? Have you figured out who it is? Who do you see in there? Ouch. Go stand over there, please. Okay. And now, Jack. Okay, so go stand over there. And then, let's see, our two brothers over here. In the beautiful plaid shirts, come over here and take a look in the box, please. Eli, and you want to take a look here and see who that very important person is? Do you see who that very important person in this church is? Okay, don't say, please. And then now you get to look. Who do you see in there who's so important to God and to this church? Whom we're all happy to see here? Well, look again. Didn't you see a face in there? You see some eyes? Whose eyes do you see there? Let's make sure I've got it right side up. Oh, yes, I do. Okay. All right. Still wondering whose face it is in there. Okay, go back and join the folks over there. And now I want you to look at the congregation. And on the count of three, I want you to point to that very important person, much beloved by God, and this church, point to that person and say that person's name. Okay, one, two, three. Let's try it again, okay? I want you to point to the person you saw in this box, okay? One, two, three. No, not me. Okay. Well, some years this works better than others. I hope you all got the point. Okay. Okay. Let's take a minute to pray. Okay, God bless all these beautiful children and let them know just how important they are to you and to us. Amen? Okay, you can go sit down now, everybody. Okay, you may go sit down. That's when I need a teaching assistant. Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to read the script passage from down here, and as you hear it, then feel free also to watch and read it from up there. And this is about Peter's confession from Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some said John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he warned, well, that's next verse 20 says, and then he warned the disciples that they shall not tell no one that he was the Christ. Or excuse me, some translations have, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, if you looked in the bulletin and thought, oh, we're going to get by without a sermon today, well, sorry, not. I should not be entrusted with much editing or proofreading of bulletins and things like that. But I want to speak from here today without notes because, you know, I'm always afraid that I'm going to miss something, forget something, but I want to convey not just the words, but my excitement and my passion and interest in this particular topic, and that is simply the Church of Jesus Christ. So I begin with a story here. So, according to a joke I heard, St. Peter was standing at the booth to the pearly gates, checking the recently dead in as they were coming to the pearly gates to say, you take the down elevator, you take the up elevator, when he noticed in line back somebody with a leather satchel that obviously was very, very heavy, filled with something heavy. And now, wait a minute. Where do we get all these stories and jokes and these images of St. Peter standing at the pearly gates to let people in or not? Well, it's from these words where Jesus says, and to you I give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So take those words and add about a couple of hundred years worth of one tradition getting laid on another until finally you have Peter standing at the gates, according to some traditions, to let people in or not. He has the keys, right? Well, not so fast. That's saying a lot more than what Jesus was saying in this passage we just heard. As I hope to show in this, the first of eight messages to come over the next couple of months about the church. About the why and the what and the how of church. So that, well, we will also during this time have some meetings, like maybe on some Sunday night or a couple of Sunday school meetings, to talk about this with the intent that over these eight messages, these several next months, we'll discern whether or not church membership is something that should be understood more in terms of an actual practical covenant toward each other and towards God, and is it something that should be renewed regularly? I think there are some good reasons for that, but if at the end of this teaching and discernment period we decide, no, we'll leave things as they are, then I hope at least we will have received much benefit and blessing from having thought about who we are as the church in relation to each other, but also especially in relation to Jesus Christ. That's a commitment that I'll make. There'll be some other people preaching, but every time I preach, I will speak about the church in relation to Jesus Christ, because we exist, the church exists by His will, by the work of Jesus Christ, by the words of Jesus Christ that we just heard. The church stands or falls simply in relation to Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, what's the point? This is an important time, I think, to be talking about church, our covenant commitment to each other and in relation to Christ, because this is a tough time for the church. The church, especially here in America now, is being squeezed in the pincers of two scandals. One of them is self-inflicted. It's tragically unnecessary and terrible. The other one is just unavoidable with the grace and the gospel. As for the self-inflicted wound, that's one of the reasons Why, you know, in Europe, so many of the great, beautiful cathedrals that dominate the landscape are basically mausoleums or museums, empty more often than not, even during regular times of worship. And here in the United States, gone are the days when the New York Times could run an article like it did 30 years ago explaining why your job prospects, why your prospects for promotion are better for being a member of a church or attending one, especially if it's your boss's church. Those days are gone. And I've actually read instead that people applying for a job, sending in their resume, wonder, should I put my church membership on that? Or should I put my leadership in a Christian organization while I was in the university on my resume? Or will the boss or the human resources department think, well, this person must be hateful and hypocritical and just have one kind of politics and be pushy about his faith and be obnoxious about it all and be judgmental? That's what a lot of people think about the church today, for reasons that I can understand. And then you add on to that sex abuse scandals and financial mismanagement and what really looks to the world and sometimes to me like very self-serving, self-promoting engagement in politics. And that these are the self-inflicted wounds of the church. That's one terrible scandal. But if we were totally, perfectly faithful and sinlessly consistent with everything we preach and teach, why would we get off any better than Jesus, who got a cross? And in much of the world where the church is growing, they're also under the gun, so to speak, because of their faithfulness to Christ. Take the persecution in China that's on the rise right now. Because in a time of resurgent Chinese militancy and nationalism and militarism and imperialism and communist ideology and the personality cult of their president, Deng Xiaoping, they know the church stands athwart of all that. And where our friends, Becky and I, our friend is imprisoned in Eritrea. Again, the church has been persecuted there because its faithfulness, its love and loyalty for Jesus Christ and to Christians in other countries where Eritrea has been at war stands athwart of the personality cult by which their government runs. So that's what I mean when I say that the church is caught between the pincers of its own self-generated scandals and also the unavoidable scandal of the grace and the goodness and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is a time when, because of those two scandals, I mean, and it's happening here in the U.S. as well, with the rise of sort of what I'd call a New Age neo-pagan postmodern revival going on. Again, there is some offense taken at the church and at people who live by ancient and enduring values by which they discipline their own lives. So it's not any easier. We face the same two scandals here. And so some would say, well, then we've got to backpedal. We've got to soft pedal on what church and what gospel and discipleship means so as to draw more people. But I ask, what's the point? I think this is a time when we must think all the more seriously and engage all the more seriously in our relationship with Christ and our commitment and engagement with each other. And that means, that includes the church. And in these words, in a time when the world is asking, why church? Jesus has just given a very powerful answer for two reasons for the church. And one I call the confession, and the other I call the combat. Now, when Peter confessed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he also said that in a place where that answer would have been taken as something scandalous. I can imagine when he answered that question of Jesus, you know, who do you say that I am? And if Jesus is who Peter says he is, that's the most important question in the world. Who do you say I am? And his answer is the most important thing we can say, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If I'd been one of those 12 disciples, I would have said, Peter, shh, no, not so loud, because we're in Caesarea Philippi, the nerve center of Roman imperial power and religion and culture and morality here. And you're saying that this poor homeless rabbi from Nazareth whom we're following is the Son of God, when right down the street is the statue to Julius Caesar, the son of the gods. And right next to him is the statue of his successor, Augustus Caesar, the son of the gods. And we're in the shadow practically of the current son of God, his statue, Tiberius Caesar. And there's a temple to another son of Zeus, Mars, the god of war. And you're saying he's the son of God. It was just as scandalous then. Now, the way we present the gospel, Jesus should have then gone on to say, in response to Peter's confession, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because you now get to go to heaven. Well, that's true. That's effectively what he said to the penitent thief on the cross next to him. But instead, Jesus goes on to say, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Now you are Peter, or Rocky, that's what that means in Greek. You are Rocky, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Just a little bit of background there. Jesus does have a sense of humor, and there's two jokes embedded in this answer. One, he says to Simon, you are Rocky. You know, you're a rock-solid person. Yeah, right, impetuous, impulsive, cowardly Peter who has this habit of opening his mouth and sticking in his foot and just being wishy-washy. But he's saying, you know, it's kind of like football fans here who remember Jerry Ball, who used to be defensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings and a few teams previously. And people joked about him, you know, he was so big, so tall, so huge, he should have his own zip code. That would be like saying, calling Jerry Ball shrimpy or tiny, or like calling a 90-pound weakling Brutus. So you are Rocky. Are you kidding? Well, Jesus is looking at who Peter can be by the power of God and not at who Peter is by his own lack of power. Aren't you glad that Jesus looks at us the same way? And aren't you glad that he looks at the church the same way? Not who we are by our weakness and cannot be what we can't do, but who we are in God's eyes and what God can do through us. Again, so this is why the church is so important to Jesus and not an afterthought to the gospel. So he says, you are Peter, you are Rocky, and on this rock I will build my church. And I would not be a Mennonite pastor if I did not believe that Peter, the rock, and the rock on which he's building the church are not exactly the same thing. There's two different versions. That's what makes it a pun. Two different versions of the word rock. You are Rocky, and on this rock I will build my church. And I'm part of the Christian stream that says that rock is the confession that Peter has made, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there you have church. If you have Jesus present by his Spirit, and you have someone or some ones who confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, you got all you need for church. The buildings can go, the sanctuaries can be taken, like is happening in China and Eritrea. But if you've got those Jesus and someone to confess him as Lord and Christ and Son of God, you've got the church. And that's the first reason why in this passage the church is so important and not an afterthought, because it carries on Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the first reason. The second reason is going to sound really weird coming in a Mennonite church from a pacifist Anabaptist preacher, and that is to carry on the combat that Christ is carrying on here. Because he goes on to say, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against this church. Now, what does he mean by the gates of Hades? So I've done a little bit of reading about that, and the simplest biblical answer, the most straightforward answer, is simply death. He's saying, I'm going to build my church on this rock, the rock of Peter's confession, and nothing can kill it. It will never die. Even killing it won't kill it. It will endure the worst that hell can throw against it. Because, yes, in the Bible, Hades, hell, death, all have behind them also an understanding of evil spiritual powers, the powers of death. We want to speak about demons or call them Satan or the devil or the evil one or the tempter. That there's a spiritual power that is suprapersonal within and behind all that. And I know that sounds like medieval language today. I know that's not everybody's favorite thing. I don't want us to get too frightened here. But Jesus, you know, we might in our current age might want to talk about a savior without a devil. We might want to talk about the kingdom of heaven without talking about hell or Hades, but Jesus doesn't. And he speaks about this kingdom coming into the world like an invasion, fighting against the dominion of Hades or the spiritual powers of death. So, you know, and it's easy. We typically might think of then the church as the people who hold the faith, who guard the church while hell or Hades are beating on the door to try to take it away. But actually, he's talking more in terms of what sounds like the demons are cowering inside the other side of the gates of hell, and the church is banging on the gates to liberate people, or his kingdom is banging on the gates. So that's what I mean when I say the church is so important, because this is the army that carries on his combat. It's the army that sheds no blood, of course. The army whose enemies do not have flesh and blood. But the army that carries on the combat of liberating the captives on the other side of the gates of Hades. So to all of us who are carrying on this combat the way Jesus did, through prayer, fasting, through worship, through your confession of faith, through teaching in Sunday school, I say, keep it up. You're scaring them on the other side of the gates of Hades. Keep it up. To those of us who are teaching English or citizenship to people who wonder, am I welcome here? Am I going to get sent back? I say, keep it up. You're scaring hell. To the people who are helping unwed mothers keep and raise their children, keep it up. By these kinds of ministries, these acts of service, you are, excuse my French, scaring the hell out of hell. Keep it up, because then we are part of his body. We are part of the army that sheds no blood, carrying forth the combat and the confession. And those are the reasons, again, why the church is not an afterthought, but so important to Christ. Now, you know what you call a soldier who says, I don't need my platoon anymore. I don't need my regiment anymore. I don't need my army anymore. I'm going off into no man's land to fight this war on my own. You know what you call such a soldier? Casualty. Or a prisoner. And I know that the church is messed up and mixed up. I know that the church is crazy and corrupted, and there are all sorts of problems with it. But I don't want to hear any critiques of the church from anyone who feels like they are above it or have no need of it or are superior to it. If you ask me what's wrong with the church, I will give you the same answer that G.K. Chesterton gave when someone asked him, what's wrong with the world? And he said, I am. I'm one of the broken, fallible, mixed up, needy, confused Christians in the church. Welcome to the club. I need, and I would say we all need, the support the love of all the other frail, fallible human beings whom Christ loves and calls us to love and be loved by as well. And where we have the confession that Jesus is the Christ, and where we carry on this combat in the army that sheds no blood, there you have the church. And I hope we love it as I hope we are loved by the church as well. Because who else would carry on this combat? And who else would carry on this confession? So to the church of Jesus Christ, as fallible and frail and human as it is, I say the same thing that Peter also said to Jesus. To whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life, especially the confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? Oh, and one last thing about Peter at the gates to the New Jerusalem, the pearly gates. He's not there, by the way. He's got better things to do. But according to this story, he finally asked that guy with a big leather satchel, "What have you got in there? Let me see." And he looked inside and saw about a dozen gold bricks, because the guy wanted to be as rich and powerful and wealthy and high in status in heaven as he was on earth. And Peter saw those 12 gold bricks and he said, "Paving stones? You brought us worthless excess paving stones?" Amen.
Please take your blue hymnal and turn to 311. 311. We're going to stand to sing, and I'm going to ask men on verse 3, women on verse 4. We'll do all five verses. 311. Men, verse 3, women, verse 4. And a brief intro with violin. Men's voices. Women's voices. Thank you. against all voices, yet she be seated.
We will go to prayer in a moment, but prayer bearing the aspirations, hopes, and fears and joys of the church together. So if you have anything you would like to share with us for our knowledge, our support, our encouragement, and our prayers today, please raise your hand and I will bring you the mic. Oh, Craig.
I just want to thank you for that message, Matt. It's got a lot of contradictions in it. And I love those, hearing those contradictions, because regularly as a Mennonite Christian, I sense I'm lost. And in that message, I could see that those are some of the reasons that there's contradictions built within our faith that don't make sense to those around us, and it makes sense to God.
Mark. And also, it was very impressive that you did that out of your head and then walk up there and played violin. You change oil in my car neck? That's amazing, Matt. I'm impressed. You know, the other day you were talking about situations that happened to you, or you're sure that God is involved in your life, you can see it. Little crazy coincidences, it's not like you came down and moved your keys, but somehow, things work out and you know that God. My first year at Fred Meyer 20 years ago, I was at the bottom of the board, and I went over the mountain every night, and I ended up with spinal meningitis, almost died, and didn't work for 6 weeks. Well, of course, I hadn't been there long enough to have any seniority or work sick time or anything. I mean, maybe a couple weeks, right? And it's like, so I got sick in like in May or something. And for some reason, we'd expected our tax return like 3 months earlier, and it didn't show up because I transposed two numbers, and it showed up when I was sick, and we lived on that $3,600 for 6 weeks. How did that happen?
Any more? I'm not sure how to answer that one, but that's wonderful. Yeah. I ask you to keep praying for our friend Andam. He, the one I mentioned last week, gone back to visit family in Eritrea and was imprisoned in a sweep of Eritreans with American connections for reasons relating to politics. He was supposed to fly back on Thursday of this week, but his family still has not heard anything from him. So keep his family and him in your prayers, please. Yes, Lynn.
Well, I want to thank you for your message, too, and especially for telling us the rest of that story. I was hoping to find out what was in that briefcase. I thought maybe you forgot to tell us, but you didn't. I want to share what's sort of a combination of announcement and testimonial, I guess. But you'll notice in the bulletin that next Saturday, the Historical Society is having their annual meeting here at Zion. And you are welcome to attend the dinner or just the service. The speaker is a very special friend. Going back a long way, over 50 years ago, Jesse and I were in the same class at Western. And she's the kind of person, and I think all of you can identify, do you remember people in your high school years who everybody liked? That's Jesse. Everybody liked Jesse. And I think she still is that kind of a person. I really look forward to hearing what she has to say about her experience in Vietnam and her ongoing. And it's not just a story that happened back then. She still has family and connections in Vietnam. So come if you can. I think you'll be blessed.
Thank you, Lynn. And Jesse was along on the Borderlands trip that some of us went on last year. Don and Kelly and I went on, and we heard some of her stories and reflections about that time in Vietnam. And I would encourage people to attend because there's so much that she learned and so much that happened then that is still speaking and relevant to us today. Yes, seeing Jesse and again how she related to people on that Borderlands tour. She's one of the people I have in mind when I say you don't need to translate smiles. You don't need to translate an open, loving heart. Jana.
Just reminding those of the memorial service for Fern Nice. I don't know if I'm saying that right. She did grow up and attended Zion for many years, so her memorial is at Albany Mennonite Church on January 19th at 1 p.m., and we had sent that out as an email also.
Anything more? Then I invite you to join me in prayer again. As we do with the church all around the world and every Sunday, closing with the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Lord, present and powerful among us, whether we are gathered here in worship or scattered in service and witness, to you belong all the honor, love, and loyalty that we might give in worship, in word, and work. Grant us the will, Lord, and the power to continue bearing testimony, as did Peter, to you. That you are the promised one, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word made flesh. This we believe, but Lord, heal our unbelief. Wherever and whenever we draw back from you and from faithful witness to you, call us back, as you also did for Peter. For Lord, to whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And like him, we acknowledge that we cannot do for you in our own power what you alone can do for us and through us. In your power. Thank you, Lord, indeed, for the way you work in us and through us and on our behalf, as Brother Mark brought to our attention. And also, dear Lord, the testimony of Jesse. And we pray, oh God, that you would bless that gathering and Jesse's testimony to bring you honor and life and courage to us, your church. Bring that same power for life and love to bear on behalf of Ondam, our friend in prison, and Lord, on behalf of Linda Dibble and her family on the death of her mother as well. And in this day, Lord, of rising and raging fear, whether fear of the powerful or of the powerless, fear of those who don't look or act or talk like ourselves, fear of lawlessness or of the abuse of power, fear of war, fear of change, make us, Lord, the army that sheds no blood, a people whose faithfulness endures and overcomes the fears and the falsehoods coming at us from the other side of the gates of Hades. As you, O Prince of Peace, lead us in your fight to liberate a captive creation and to bring light to all in darkness. In answer to your own very prayer, which we pray with you and with all of the church worldwide, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for our closing song. I'm going to ask people to move into the aisle so that we're all kind of in the center of the sanctuary as we sing Jesus Be the Center.